Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse 29 in the chapter. It takes us to consider these two brothers, Jacob and Esau. The passage just before this has told us of their birth and so on. And coming to verse 29 then of Genesis chapter 25, let's hear the word of the Lord together. "And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." With God's word open before us, we'll bow together briefly in a word of prayer and seek the help of God to consider his word. O Lord our God, we thank thee for the scriptures open, the word of God in our hands and before us. We thank thee that these are the words of life, words to teach us things that are profitable, that we may be built up in the things of salvation. O, we pray that thou would be merciful to us now, that the Holy Spirit would come and take total control of everything, that help would be given to me and the infilling of the Holy Ghost to proclaim aright the things of Christ and the exhortation of the gospel. And oh, that the Spirit would come and take these words and apply them directly to the heart of each one gathered in. So, Lord, be with us and bless us with the truth of thy word. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. One of the facts of life is that some people are born more privileged than others. Families differ, and then even within the family units, the circumstances of each child differ. Some are born more privileged than others. Esau was born privileged. As the firstborn son, he was entitled to the family's blessing, to the greatest share of the family's inheritance. It was his birthright. Esau's birthright gave him tremendous blessings. It entitled him to the promised land which God would give to the family of Abraham. It made him a priest in the family. It was the passing on, if you like, of that great covenant which God had made with his forefathers. It gave him the promise of God's blessing and the assurance that the Messiah would come through his line. Esau was born with tremendous privilege, but he would lose it all. One day, he would lose his blessing. Would it be for some good reason? No. He sold his privilege for a pot of soup. He lost his blessing for a bowl of lentils. Now, I know that God is in control of history and the scriptures have panned out exactly as the Lord desires it to be. But this is one of those pivotal moments, humanly speaking, that totally changes the course of history. Without this transaction, the selling of the birthright, you would not be reading of the children of Israel, at least not with respect to Jacob. You would be reading of the blessed children of Esau, his family, the special people of God. Esau lost everything for lentils. How did this come about? How did Esau lose everything for lentils? The first thing I suggest to you, the first reason that Esau lost so much was that he valued the present more than the future. He placed great value on the present in comparison to the future. Esau was a man who desired pleasure immediately. He was not so much concerned with tomorrow or the day after that. He was concerned with right now, living in the moment, taken up by the present. Esau was out in the field that day enjoying himself, trying to catch some food for the family, living in the moment. And even there, he pushed himself right to the point when his stomach forced him to go home. He had no forethought as to say, I better leave now before I'm too hungry. No, he lived in the present. And then Esau arrives into the home, and he has an empty stomach. He's urgent for something to satisfy this present desire, and he spies his brother's lentil soup. He thinks to himself, I must have that now. It doesn't come to Esau's mind that he could perhaps take 10 minutes and make something for himself. I mean, he speaks in the passage of being at the point of death, being ready to die, but Esau could spare 10 minutes. You can go a lot longer than this without food. He could spare 10 minutes. But instead, he's urgent to satisfy this present desire. Feed me now. Then Esau is offered this deal. Sell me this day thy birthright. Now tonight, I'm not so much looking at Jacob's morality in offering this deal, and I'm not looking at Jacob. Tonight, I want you to focus upon Esau. Here he is, and he's presented with this option. Here he is with a decision to make. He can have the birthright and all the blessings of God for the future. Or he can have this bowl of lentil soup and satisfy his present desire. Esau took no thought for future benefits. He was taken up with a presently empty stomach. And because of it, he lost everything. He lost everything. He wasn't forced into this. He could have made his own food, taken some of the bread perhaps that verse 34 mentions. But no, he wants his desire satisfied immediately. He exchanged an everlasting blessing for a bowl of lentils that he's going to eat within a few minutes. What a fool. What a fool. But as we make this declaration tonight and we say, Esau, what a fool, do we not have to turn attention to ourselves? Do you not have to turn attention to yourself tonight? And if you're honest with yourself, is it not true that you're making exactly the same mistake? You see, the gospel calls you to consider what lies ahead. Christ has come to this earth. He has gone to Calvary and he has borne sin so that you who are on the road to destruction and hell might have your feet turned about, might have your soul rescued, have your feet set on the road to heaven, that you might have an everlasting blessing of fellowship with God forevermore in peace and joy. An everlasting blessing is offered you. And what are you doing with it? Tonight, perhaps you're here and you're still neglecting this everlasting blessing that the Lord offers you in the gospel, still turning it aside and saying, I don't really have time for that. I have no concern for this. I have too many things to consider now in my life, too much to live for now, too many things that I don't want to give up now. Oh, the gospel calls you to consider your latter end. That's what Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy 32. He was speaking of a foolish people and he said, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God warns you to consider what lies in store. You might be enjoying the moment. You might be enjoying life as you have it right now. But God warns you to consider the hell which you are approaching, and approaching fast. And at the same time, he shows you the heaven which can be yours through Christ. The Lord shows you hell, engulfed in the blackness of darkness forevermore, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And at the same time, he shows you the blessing of heaven, where you shall hunger no more, neither thirst, where the Lamb in the midst of the throne shall feed you and shall lead you into the living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. God sets before you then the joy or the despair of your future. And he calls you to consider What way are you headed? What will it be for you? What will it be? Consider your latter end. What will it be, friend? Will you lose the blessedness and joy, the eternal blessing that the Lord is ready to give you through Christ, who went to the tree and bore sin for sinners? Are you going to miss this tremendous blessing, the everlasting blessing of God, for some pleasures that will, yes, perhaps take control of your mind and give you some thrill for a moment, but soon they're going to be gone? Are you going to throw away this tremendous blessing for that which can be a little bit of a thrill just for a moment? Oh, consider your latter end. Seek Christ. He went to Calvary and bore sin so that you might have an everlasting blessing. Heaven can be yours if you would only look to Christ. For in Him you shall find forgiveness of sin. You will find reconciliation with God, fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. He offers you an everlasting blessing. Are you going to trade it for a quick thrill in present sin? Esau was a man of the moment, and he lost everything of real worth. Esau lost his blessing because he valued the present more than the future, but also Esau lost his blessing because he desired the earthly more than the heavenly, more than the spiritual, you could say, the physical more than the spiritual. When Esau came back home that day, his stomach was empty. He was feeling weak in the body. And I'm sure you can picture him arriving at the door of the home. There's the smell of this lovely hot lentil stew coming to his nose. It's not too long, I'm sure, before his mouth starts to water. He comes in, he sees the nice red color in the pot. He sees that this is going to be a delicious meal. His senses are stirred up and the temptation comes over him. Oh, he must have this lovely thing now. And so far, you can't really fault Esau. I'm sure that you would have the same reaction. I know I have. Times when you've perhaps come to the kitchen and someone in the family has been cooking something very nice and there's that lovely smell. What's in the pot looks good and you know this is going to taste nice. And yes, you've felt it, I'm sure. Your mouth starts to water. You want this thing. You have a desire for it. Your stomach tells you it's time to eat. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. The problem for Esau came when he was given this choice. It was not wrong that he desired the food. It was not wrong. But the choice was given. He could have this physical enjoyment. He could have this physical pleasure of the lentils. Or he could have the birthright. There was a spiritual side to that birthright. It wasn't just about possessing some physical land. It wasn't just that. It was, as I've said, essentially the passing down of the covenant which God had made with Abraham. It made Esau the priest in the family. It meant the Messiah coming through his line. It meant the whole blessing of God upon his family. It had tremendous spiritual blessings in store. And so Esau was choosing between the physical bowl of lentils and the spiritual blessing of God. When Esau chose to have that bowl of lentils, the physical thing, it shows you how little he valued, how little he thought of the blessing of God. He was a man not only living in the moment, but he was a man taken up with the world. Taken up with the world, his thoughts consumed by simply the things of this world. As I say, none of Esau's desires were wrong in and of themselves. He had been out with the desire to hunt, and that was legitimate. He was home, and the food smelled good and looked good, and he had a desire to eat, and that was legitimate. His desire was not wrong in terms of desiring earthly things, but he erred greatly when he valued those earthly, physical things more than the spiritual things, the blessing of God. It was okay. It was okay that Esau valued some of the things in this world, but it was not okay that he valued them more than the blessing of the Lord. Esau should be condemned here. And yet, as we say it, do we not have to say the same for you? If you're honest, should you not be condemned yourself? We are creatures of sense. We're so prone to treasure the things that we can touch or taste or see or smell. So prone to treasure these things, to value the experiences that we can enjoy with the senses. So prone to focus on the things of this earth. So prone to treasure them and to neglect the blessings which the Lord would bestow. Does that sum you up tonight? Are you living your life and you're taken up with the experiences of this world, glad to enjoy the thrills of different things, different experiences, different objects, different things in this life, taken up with those things and living your life with no thought for how you stand before the Lord or the blessings that He is willing to give you? Is that how your life is? Are you living without thought of the Lord? Oh, it ought not to be. Can I urge you? Do not value the things of this world more than the things of God, the blessing of the Lord. It's good to enjoy a tasty dinner. It's good to enjoy sports. It's good to enjoy the company of friends. It's good to laugh. God gave many things in this life to be enjoyed. Many things to His people to be enjoyed. Many things to man to be enjoyed in this world. But never, never value any of these things more than a walk with God and the blessings which He is willing to bestow. And even if you're saved here tonight, can I just briefly mention to you, you can learn a lesson, as can I, from Esau's mistake. Does this account not stand to us as a warning and say to us, get your priorities right? How true is it that even we who are saved so often get taken up in the legitimate things of this world, things that are legitimate and good to enjoy in their place. And yet, what a tragedy, friends. What a tragedy if you live your life with so much desire for these things and so little zeal to go on with God. What a tragedy. Where do your priorities lie? What a tragedy if you spend hours in leisure activities and rush through a quiet time and give no real heed to the Lord the rest of the day. Tragedy. It ought not to be. But what about you who are here tonight and you've lived your whole life like this? You've lived your whole life the way Esau lived. The Lord has been standing a long time. He has had His arms outstretched to you, offering spiritual blessing through Christ, offering you these everlasting, tremendous, wonderful blessings. And yet you have lived all your life with no thought of Christ, no care to be right with Him, no concern really to go on with God. You've lived in sin, whether that be sin that is morally acceptable as the world sees it, or whether it be the sins that the world would look down upon. You've lived for yourself. You've lived with no thought for God. Friend, you're just like Esau. You're just like Esau. You're living for the physical. You're living for yourself and the things of the world. Continue on that road. And like Esau, I tell you, like Esau, you are going to lose everything. Everything of real worth. You'll lose it all. The gospel question is asked, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Friend, this world is useless to you if you do not have the blessings of God in the gospel of Christ. This world is useless to you if you do not know peace with God. This world is meaningless and worthless to you if you do not know the true blessings, the spiritual blessings which are held out to you by a long-suffering God. What value is there in this world if at the end of the day you go to the destruction of hell and suffer that eternal, everlasting destruction in the blackness? What worth is there in this world then, friend? What worth is there if you lose your own soul? Why would you set such value upon the things of this life, the things of this world? Oh, friend, they're worthless. Proverbs 11, verse 4 tells us that riches profit not in the day of wrath. Righteousness delivereth from death. You can have all the riches of this world, all the things that this world can give you. You can gain the whole world. But it's of no profit whatsoever in the day of wrath. In that day, it's worthless to you. Worthless. Oh, righteousness, that's what delivers from death. The righteousness of Christ given to you when you come as a sinner to the cross. You look to Christ, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the one who can cleanse you from sin and reconcile you to God. Oh, come to him, and he gives you his righteousness. And righteousness delivereth from death. The proverb tells us, oh, the righteousness found in Christ, that is a treasure. That is something that you ought to value. Oh, you ought to value that. God stretches out his hand to you with the offer of salvation. He is prepared to give you abundant spiritual blessing. Do not be like Esau and despise such a tremendous blessing for that which is merely some small physical lesser thing. Esau was taken up with the physical, and he lost everything of real value. He lost God's blessing for a bowl of lentils. Are you making the same mistake tonight? What will cost you God's blessing? So Esau lost God's blessing because he valued the present more than the future, and also because he desired the earthly and physical more than the heavenly and spiritual. But finally, and very briefly, can I suggest to you that Esau lost his blessings with God by making perhaps his worst mistake, and that was that he lacked repentance. He lacked repentance. You read verse 34. There it tells us that Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. He ate, he drank, and then he just rose up and went on his way. You would expect that Esau, having finished his meal, would suddenly realize what he had just done. You would expect that it would suddenly hit his mind hard. I have just eaten away my blessing in a few moments. What a fool I've been. But no, he simply rose up and went on his way. He walked off without a second thought. There's no sign of repentance, at least not at this stage. There's no recognition of what he has just lost. He simply gets up and goes on his way. And I suggest that that is the point when the final nail is hammered into Esau's coffin. That's the reason that Scripture concludes this account at the end of verse 34 by saying, thus Esau despised his birthright. Oh, that's what it boils down to in all of this. That's what it boils down to. He despised the blessing of God. He despised the birthright. He treated it as if it were worth nothing. Oh, how much better it would have been for Esau if at the very least he had cried onto perhaps his brother, begged his brother, oh, don't hold me to this deal. How much better it would have been for him to come before God and to confess his crime and seek the Lord, repent of sin. Oh, but he didn't. He got up and he went on his way. Friends, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. And he gives the command to repent when wrong has been done. Had Esau repented, had he acknowledged his crime, aye, the Lord was still able to bless him. He had lost a lot, but the Lord could still bless Esau. And yet, as a fool, he walked on, hard-hearted, neglecting the blessing of God. Have you been living your life with the wrong priorities? And tonight, perhaps, you've come to realize it. You've been living for the moment. You've had no thought of the things of eternity. Tonight, you suddenly realize, I've been living for this world instead of the blessings which the Lord is willing to give me. Perhaps that sums you up. You realize these things now. What would the Lord have you to do? Repent. Oh, seek Him. Turn to Christ. And the Lord can still bless you. The Lord can bestow upon you all of the blessings of the gospel. He can give you peace with Himself. He can give you joy in Christ. He can give you pleasure forevermore. Oh, He can come and give you all the blessings that you have been lacking thus far through your life. Oh, come to Christ, friend. Seek Him, the man of Calvary. He died on that cross that sin could be forgiven. He died on that cross that the sin of neglecting God, that sin of which you have been so very guilty thus far, He died that it might be forgiven. Oh, you come to Christ. You look to the finished work of Calvary. You look to the blood which He shed, that blood which is able to cleanse you from sin. Oh, and you will be reconciled unto God. The blessing of the Lord will be yours. As we close tonight, I just stress to you, do not lose out with God for anything. Do not lose out with Him for anything. He stands there with open arms, ready to bless you. Ready to bless you. With blessings beyond anything you've ever known in this life of sin so far. Do not lose the blessings which He offers for anything. Esau lost his blessing for a bowl of lentils. Whether you lose God's blessing in exchange for the whole world, or whether you lose it for a simple pea soup, the cost is too high. The cost is too high. When God is willing to bless you, willing to give you salvation, peace with Himself, pardon for a guilty conscience, fellowship, joy, satisfaction, don't exchange that blessing for all the world. Esau lost God's blessing for a bowl of lentils. What foolish and pathetic thing is keeping you back from the blessing which Christ would freely bestow upon you? May God bless His word to your hearts. We'll close together in a word of prayer. If the Lord has been speaking to you, well, let me encourage you. Do seek to put wrongs right, to come to Christ. That is what I mean by putting wrongs right. You don't need to go away and start fixing your life up before you come to Christ. Oh no, if the Lord has been dealing with you, you seek the Lord now while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. If I can be of any help to you, do feel free to speak to myself or Mr. Douglas. But you don't need us. You simply cry out to God with a heart that desires forgiveness, a heart that confesses your sin, a heart that acknowledges that Christ alone can save. You cry out to Him, and as I said earlier, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we do thank Thee for the tremendous gift of Christ. We thank Thee that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank Thee for all the many, many blessings which flow to us through Christ. And oh, we pray that Thou would be merciful and speak tonight, so that those who have come into this place lacking all that is truly blessed in this world Oh, that they might go out knowing the joy of peace with Thee, our God, and the blessing of being found in Christ. So, Lord, be merciful in these things we ask. Abide with us even at the tables as we go to eat the supper. We thank Thee for the things that Thou hast mercifully provided for us. We pray that Thou would bless the time of fellowship together. Use it likewise to the glory of Christ, that our conversation might be that which is fitting for the Sabbath day and good and proper. Be with us, we ask, as we part. Bless Thy people. Help us to serve Thee in the days ahead. And oh, for the unsaved, that Thou would draw them to Thyself and glorify the name of Christ in all these things. We ask it in His name, for His sake. Amen.